I'll be reading this morning. It's a very familiar and popular passage of Scripture, perhaps used more at funerals than on Sunday morning services, but it's the 23rd Psalm. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we come to the conclusion of another year, I look back at a variety of different things that we have gone through. We've gone through a lot of different changes and trials and troubles. We've had a lot of good times. There's been blessing as well as trouble in our lives over the last year. The psalmist here gave us a lot of things to consider, a lot of things to think about, a lot of things to ponder. My great-grandfather was saved under the ministry of a man that there's only one recorded message that I have of him preaching. I put it on my website, Brother Luther Stewart. My grandfather got saved under his ministry and was baptized by him. And he preached a message from the 23rd Psalm, and I have a recording of that, and there's a lot contained in this psalm. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad that He provides me places of refreshment. He enables me to lay down in green pastures, and He leads me by stilled up waters. I'm thankful that when I'm in want or in need of restoration, the Lord is there. When you're saved and you sin, you don't get away with it. He comes and chastens you and restores you back in relationship with Him. He can make it rough on a believer. But He always deals with us according to the sure mercies of David, where He would never forsake us, but that He would deal with us like a father deals with a child. I'm thankful for the restorations in my life. I'm thankful that the Lord is always there to lead me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm thankful for the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, the imputed holiness that has been brought into our souls. The seed of God that cannot be contaminated is in us. And we cannot sin because we are born of God. That's what John said. And some of us, over the last year, we've walked through valleys of the shadow of death. We are, it's been 10 years since Ange lost her dad, and we were with her mom this year at Christmas time and kind of reflected back on the last 10 years. Families go through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to experience an evil day. It's coming. An evil day is coming. A day when your family will be sick, a day when somebody in your family will die. It could be you. Could be me. I don't know what the future holds. I'm not going to boast myself of tomorrow because I'm not sure what a day may bring. But if I do go through the valley of the shadow of death myself, or I go through it with a loved one, the Lord is with me. I'm thankful for that comfort and that consolation that is brought into our lives when we go through those times. Death will one day be swallowed up in victory. Jesus came to taste death for every man. He came to bring a destruction to death. He came, and ultimately in the end, we read in the 15th chapter of Corinthians that death will be annihilated. Death will be destroyed. Death will be subdued. See, Jesus overcame death. He resurrected on the third day and He lives. And He's coming back, and when He comes back, He will subdue death and He will cast it into the abyss. In the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, it says when death and hell is cast in the lake of fire, this is the second death. We read early in the 20th chapter that those that are with Jesus Christ, those that live in Him, the second death has no power. Praise God. I'm not even sure what all that means, but I do know that the saints of God will not experience the second death, but those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have not the righteousness of Christ, will experience the second death. Verse 5 begins to talk about something very unique, something very special. Some special privileges and perks that we have as children of God. This invitation to a banquet. As we read in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom, being like a king that provided a great banquet and invited guests to come and eat. We're invited to eat at the Lord's table. Now, it's a privilege. When I look back over my life, I thank God for the privilege to eat at the Lord's table. Here, this is the Oriental kind of custom that is mentioned in these verses about the table being prepared. You're being invited. You go. You're a guest, if you will, that gets to go. A blessed guest. An invited guest to come, a privileged guest to come to a prepared table. Do you believe the Lord has prepared everything for us that we need? In that 22nd chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was talking about and teaching the parable about the king providing the banquet, there's a phrase in there where he says, everything has been prepared. People, all that we need is found in Christ. Everything. Jesus can supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And so we look to Him. But this phrase in here and my title and my message, I know my introductions are getting longer and longer, aren't they? But the title of my message is this. I have a cup. I have a cup. He provides not only a meal. He provides the refreshment, which was typical of that day, of the anointing upon the head, the oil, the perfume that was used, the preparation for a guest that would come, a blessed guest that would come to this invitation. And then there's the cup that's been prepared for us. Now I want to speak to you this morning, first of all, with respect to this cup, how careless we have become with the cup of God. We need to think about that. We have a great privilege. We have a great blessing before us. We have a cup. Now, Jesus in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 22, He talked about this. Now, we're using the phrase cup, of course, metaphorically. And what we're talking about are the situations relating to the experiences of life. Life experiences. You have a cup before you. There are things that you're going to experience. Things that you're going to do. There's going to be things that you enjoy and things that you don't enjoy. There's going to be heartache and there's going to be blessing. There's going to be good times and bad times. But before you, in your life, there are situations, there are experiences. There's your life that you live. And each year we drink from that cup, those experiences of life. So as we think about all the situations and experiences of life, referred to as the cup. Jesus did that in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 22. You know, the disciples on that occasion, they were trying to elevate themselves. One wanted to sit on the right hand, one on the left hand, one wanted special privileges. And He asked the disciples, are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of? Now He was talking about the cross, the experience of the cross. The experience of the suffering of the cross was referred to with respect to Him drinking this cup. He also said in John chapter 18 and verse 11, He said, the cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now as we think about the cup that Jesus drank, He actually drank our cup. When we think about the cup, I think about the conversion. First of all, there has to be a transition that occurs. In other words, Jesus went to the cross to drink the cup of condemnation on your behalf. Okay? The cup that I have, my cup, is not mine, but it is a cup that has been given to me by Christ. Amen. You know, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah the prophet talked a lot about the suffering and the sorrow, how that he bore our grief. He bore our sorrow. He bore our suffering. It was prophesied of hundreds of years before Christ ever came that he would come and drink the cup of condemnation and the cup of wrath. Well, there's several verses in the Old Testament where the cup is symbolic of the divine wrath of God. There's Psalms 11, Psalm 75, Isaiah 51, Jeremiah 25, Isaiah 51, Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah 59, Lamentation chapter 4. There's other places. And when we think about the sorrow and the suffering, I mean, it was the messianic prophecy was that Jesus would come and drink our cup for us. The cup of condemnation, the cup of wrath, the cup of suffering, the cup of sorrow. I mean, you can just look at his life. And he saw the situations and the experiences that we have as human beings. The things that we're exposed to, the sorrows of life. Jesus felt our pain. And for 3.5 years, he went about seeing all of that unbelief. He saw all the ignorance and the rebellion and the rejection and the suffering and the sorrow, the disobedience, the poverty, the loss. He saw people die. He saw people hungry. But you know what Jesus did? He came and relieved our sorrows. He came and relieved our suffering. He felt the human experience in suffering. And temporarily, while he was here on the earth, he fed those that were hungry. He healed those that were sick. He consoled those that were in grief. He was there for them. And when they wept tears, he even went so far as raised the dead. He had sorrow upon sorrow, grief upon grief. But while he was here, he relieved our suffering. He relieved our sorrow. Now that was a temporary period of time while Christ was in the flesh and he was here on the earth and he was ministering. I believe that is a picture. I believe that it's a preview of his kingdom. There will be no sorrow or suffering there. Amen. There will be no death there. The Bible tells us that. So it was a preview of his kingdom. And what he was doing while he was here, he was absorbing the pain, the suffering, and the sorrow of mankind. The Hebrew writer would go so far as say that he tasted death for every man. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he began to drink of your cup, when he began to drink of my cup, I mean, it was emotionally and spiritually overwhelming to him. He began to pray. He asked the disciples, just pray that you not enter into temptation. He went a little farther into that Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed and he pleaded with the Father. The Bible says he was in such an emotional state that his sweat was as great drops of blood. He was in distress. He was crying. The Bible talks about how that he moaned and he groaned and he cried. And what did he say? Do you remember what he said? Let this cup pass from me. He did not want to drink of the wrath that belonged to you. Now that's why we talk a lot around here about federal headship. That's why we talk a lot about substitutionary atonement. We believe that Jesus Christ took our place. The wrath, the condemnation, the suffering that we deserve because we are sinners and we have transgressed the law of a holy God, Jesus bore our sins in His own body on the cross. So the cup, He said, please God the Father, remove this cup from me. He was taking our place. But thanks be unto God, He said, not my will but thine be done. For had He not took our place, had He not paid the price, had He not drunk of the cup of condemnation and wrath and judgment that belongs to every sinner, we would all be for all of eternity be lost. But He took our place. Praise God, He drank our cup. We have communion here at this church. And we talk about communion. Last time I read from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the communion and the cup. And He says, the cup of blessing, is it not a blessing of communion, of fellowship? Connection. There's a fellowship and connection with the Lord. And as we come to the Lord's table, and every time we drink of the cup, the juice that represents the spilling out of His blood on our behalf, we think about Him drinking the cup of wrath and condemnation for us. We're to remember that it was by the shedding of blood that remission was provided. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Amen. So we come and we drink of the cup. And you know, Jesus with the disciples up in the upper room at the Last Supper, you know, He gave them the cup and He said, drink it and drink all of it. That's another sermon. But from rim to the very bottom, every drop of the cup of condemnation that was toward me, Christ bore that for me. He drank the cup of God's divine wrath that was toward me because of my sins, and now I have a different cup. Each time we have a communion service, we talk about the communion. We talk about our connection, you know, with Him. And we think back about our conversion. See, when you get saved, we talk about a conversion, a change. The change is that we no longer bear our sins, Christ bore them for us. And we no longer have our own righteousness, we have His righteousness. So there's a cup exchange, kind of like the gift exchange that you had this past week. Well, there's some of you probably got something you didn't want or something you didn't deserve. And don't raise your hand. But we're talking about an exchange of all the bad that we might receive all the good that comes from God. So our souls, we had a cup, and it was like a broken cistern. You remember? it just did not hold any water. And you looked inside, and it was full of condemnation, it was full of wrath, it was full of divine wrath, eternal death. I mean, this cup that we had was a cup of damnation. But the psalmist said, there's another cup available. In the 116th Psalm, where he talked about conviction, he talked about the pains of hell getting hold upon him, him finding trouble and sorrow. In the 116th Psalm, he called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer and saved his soul. And he went a little further down in the Psalm, and he said, I will take the cup of salvation. We traded a cup of damnation for a cup of salvation. Yeah, the Redeemer. He drained the cup of God's wrath, and now we're saved. We are saved from condemnation. There's no longer any condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. But when the depths of condemnation got hold upon us, and we realized we were under divine wrath because of our sins, there's only one solution. there's always only been one satisfaction for sin, and it's the precious redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without spot and without blemish, taking our place. All right, the cup. Psalmist says in the 23rd Psalm, got a table prepared, my head's been anointed with oil, and I've been given a cup. It's my head. It's a table prepared for me. And this is my cup. My cup. Now, most of the time, we think about cup with respect to our souls. People, it's far more than just our spirits or our souls being filled with the things of God. Okay? It's more than that. The cup represents, I think, to David, maybe even the cup of worship. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord and have our worship acceptable unto God. You know, under the Old Testament, under the ceremonial law, the Jews would bring meat offerings and they would bring drink offerings unto the Lord. They would bring it to the temple, they'd bring it before the priest. Some of it was put on the altar, some of it was poured out at the altar. And then the other half of it, the other portion of that, was given to the priest and the worshiper. And they would sit down and they would eat of the drink offering. Or they'd eat of the meat offering and they would drink of the drink offering. And they would sit down and they get to participate and take part in the worship of Jehovah God. And the cup that we get to drink from is not just a cup of having a car or having a house or having belongings or having wealth. We get to sit down and drink from spiritual things. We not only get to come here, and look, God deserves our worship. If we were to stay on our faces before God the rest of our life, we still couldn't pay back to God all that He's given us. But He allows us to get up and plug in and join in. Have you ever been praising the Lord and you become so wrapped up in it, you know, that it just blesses your soul? I mean, you're supposed to be blessing God, but your soul gets blessed. Have you ever been on your knees praying, talking to the Lord, and you just start worshiping Him, and man, does it bless you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or you try to work and serve and do something for the Lord. And you think, you know, at first you think this is going to be such a burden, this is going to be so hard, and you think of the drudgery and the sacrifice, and then you get involved in doing it, and you get such a blessing out of it. I mean, all of a sudden just something comes over you where you're participating in the advancement of the Lord's cause, fixing a drain. And you get a blessing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you need to. It's time you get plugged into the things of God. So I think he was talking probably not only about, in this passage, the federal headship of the cup exchange, but the faithful worship. God is faithful to us when we worship Him. We get more of a blessing than we can bless Him. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You mean you could be teaching a lesson and you're thinking, man, this is going to pay. Or get ready to preach. And sometimes I have anxiety and I'm like, you know, I get stressed out and I've got to stand before you guys and I don't feel like that everything I prepared is sufficient, or anything that I've ever prepared is sufficient for the people of God. And then I'm thinking, man, what if the Lord don't show up? And what if He don't help me? And you know, I get all stressed out about that. And then I try to repent and pray and want to make sure I'm where I need to be. And I'm going through this big, huge process. Then I get up here and I open up the book and God blesses me. And I get right here. And I believe this is hallowed ground. You can say what you want to. The only thing that makes it hallowed about it is that from time to time I've felt angels come down on this place from heaven. But He's faithful to us when we work. worship Him, when we work for Him, when we serve Him, when we praise Him, when we pray to Him, our cup runs over. Now, you know, have you ever had some Pepsi poured into a cup and it start to bubble over? A Coke? What's the first thing you do? Do you just sit there and let it run all over the table? What do you do? Come on, think. What do? You drink! You drink! Man, when your cup runs over, you need to drink! Put your mouth to the cup and drink! Let it spill out on others. So we have a cup that brings about a conversion where we get the cup of the Lord, the cup of blessing. Corinthians chapter 10, the cup of blessing. We went from a cup of condemnation to where we now have a cup of salvation. We get to come together and there's a worship aspect of this. We come and we put our drink offering before the Lord, and then He allows us to sit down and drink from our own drink. In worship of Him, we offer something up to Him, and God gives it back to us 100-fold. Wow! Now, you know, I wasn't going to use this analogy, but I guess I will anyway. When I was at Derek and Tiffany's house, I noticed that on their mantle, they had some big stockings. They weren't like Lila's little socks. Big, you know why they had big stockings? Because they wanted a lot of stuff in there. It's kind of smart, isn't it? Yeah. You know? And I think that's the way it is in the work of the Lord. We need to come before the Lord with a big cup, wanting it filled. You know, I want to go beyond just the worship aspect of it. I want to go into some of the Father's faithfulness, faithful heirship. We had federal headship, faithful worship. We have Father heirship. In Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 7, Jeremiah talked about a cup of consolation. The Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he talked about the God of all comforts. And he says, we receive divine comfort into our lives. And when we receive divine comfort into our lives, so that's one thing that's in our cup is comfort. God comforts us. He blesses us. He fills us. We experience things from God, and He says we go through tribulation and we go through trouble, but when we go through trouble, we have the consolation of God. Whatever we go through over the next year, whatever problem, whatever trial, whatever trouble, whatever death, you tap into God's comfort. Now listen, you can come to my office anytime. I will pray with you. I'll pray for you. I'll talk to you. But all I know to do is point you to God. The God of all comfort, who will comfort you in every trial and tribulation and trouble that you face. And when you experience that comfort of God, you need to share with other people that they too can drink from the cup of comfort. That's what He says. So you get it, you share with other people that they can get it too. Whatever you're going through, somebody else is going through, they got consolation from God, you can get consolation from God. But you got to go to God. Are you with me? God provides a cup of consolation. All right, I got to move on. I do know this. Whatever. What I've always found in connection with that consolation is that, you know, weeping may endure for the night, but there's joy coming in the morning. This is not the end. It may defeat me today, but it won't win the victory. It may have some temporary victory in my life, but it will not triumph. And even when I come to the crossing, death will not win. Christ cannot lose. Yeah. All right, I'm trying to close. All right. Have you ever just gotten a comfort from the Holy Ghost? You know anything about that? Just a peace coming to your heart. You're right in the middle of a storm. I mean, this thing is mega storm. You got this mega storm going on in your life, and God gives you peace. I mean, it can be a financial issue. It can be a health issue. You know, it could be anything. Anything. And just get the peace of God that passes all understanding. And it's like He holds us up. You know what you're doing? You're drinking from the cup. Consolation and comfort. He wants to fill our souls with His presence. The Bible says that over and over again. Paul said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? Be filled with what? Be filled! Let the Lord fill your life! Now, a couple of years ago, I preached at a youth conference, and I preached about the sower that went forth to sow. And Jesus explained that parable and talked about the seed being the Word of God, the sower being the preacher, and He talked about the soil being the heart. The heart. Do you realize you only have so much room in your life? That's a big point in that parable. There's only so much room. If you put a bunch of weeds in your soul, you don't have room for God. If you put a lot of amusement in your life, you don't have room for the things of God. If you put too much entertainment in your life, you don't have room for the things of God. Now, God lets us enjoy all these things, but they're to be enjoyed in moderation. And there are some people, their lives, their souls are so full of stuff that the gospel doesn't have room. You talk about no room at the end. That's exactly what describes your soul. Filled up with everything of the world but God. All right, federal headship, faithful worship, a fatherly heirship, and a family citizenship. This cup of blessing is a cup of fellowship, isn't it? We're in fellowship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? We enjoy the same redemption, the same forgiveness that they enjoyed. We enjoy the same relationship. They are heirs to God and we are heirs to God. Listen, folks, we're Gentiles. And in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, when Jesus taught that parable, He sent His servants unto the citizens of the city. They rejected the servants and killed them. The king destroyed the city. And then he told His servants, go into the highways and the byways. Compel them to come in. Listen, folks, we're the lame and the halted. And we've been summoned to a table where there's this glorious cup of life that we get to live. In a relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and God Jehovah. What a blessing that is. And we get to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise God. In the heavenly kingdom at the Lord's table. All right. So we're part of that family. We're part of that citizenship. I believe we're part of Zion. I believe we're part of Jerusalem. You can disagree with me if you want to. I believe we are citizens of the heavenly country. Just like they were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. A city four square, so are we. We're going to live with God in that glorious place. Keep in mind, in this covenant is the... In this cup is the covenant of God. The covenant of God is in this cup. We are connected to the covenant of God. And God's covenant has never failed. It is an everlasting covenant. Eternal covenant. All right, let's pause just for a moment. Okay, you start putting stuff in a cup. And when you study about us being heirs of God, we have God as our portion. Now, God is from everlasting to everlasting. So let's say you put mercy in your cup. Well, the Bible says over and over again, the Lord is good and His mercies endure for what? Yeah, His mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. How are you going to get it all in your cup? Well, you can't. It always runs over. What about love? Do you believe God is eminently love? We learned some things in Sunday school about the love of God. What about agape love? It's everlasting love, isn't it? Put that in your cup. Put everlasting love in your cup. Is there room? No, because it's from everlasting to everlasting. The mercy, the grace of God. How big is the mercy and the grace of God? It's bigger than any cup. Or let's just talk a little bit about the promises of God. Listen, if you put one of God's promises, like He'll never leave you nor forsake you in your cup, it'll not only fill your cup, it'll cause your cup to overflow. And then you get to read from Genesis to Revelation, and all those promises are ours. All the promises of God are ours to enjoy. And all of those promises, the promise of eternal life, put eternal life in your cup. Point is this, our cup should always be overflowing. And if it's not, you're just not drinking from your cup. You're not looking at it. You're not watching it. You're not observing it. You're not sitting down at the table. You're not enjoying it. You're not observing what's going on in your life. And when we start enjoying these blessings of life, we'll be able to communicate them to others, and it will energize us. It'll energize us to be greater witnesses and greater servants of God. We are part of this family citizenship. I'm looking forward to sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm looking forward to that day when I shall experience eternal life. That stuff that's from everlasting to everlasting. And I pray today that if you're here and you're lost and in your sin, that you'll switch out your cup of condemnation for a cup of salvation. That you'll be able to drink from the water of life. This goblet, this vessel, this glorious cup that we have is a cup of God that we get to enjoy. Jesus made it where we can enjoy it. I appreciate your attention. I have a cup. My cup. Can you say my cup? Look inside your cup. I have life. I have everlasting life. I have a Father that cares for me and loves me. You know what? If I don't experience something out there, if I don't have something out there, my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's what I see down in my cup. Right? When I need something, I look down at my cup. Jesus said, if you have need of anything, ask of me and I will give it unto you. Now what He said? That's what I see down in my cup. He who offered up His own Son, how shall He not freely give you all? Everybody say all. Anything you need will be provided. I believe we're providentially taken care of. I believe that's prophesied of, and it is promised in God's holy word. God's people are guarded and protected. We've got a shepherd. Oh, man. My cup. I don't know about yours, but I know what's in my cup. If you're here today and you look inside your cup and it's full of condemnation, it's full of wretchedness, it's full of sin, it's full of destruction and damnation and eternal death and the second death. If all that stuff's in your cup, come to the Lord. Come, trade that for a cup of blessing. That's what we did. Every one of us went to the substitutionary atonement for our sins, traded our cup of damnation for a cup of salvation. You need to make that trade?